Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have old friend Anna Page to talk about her recent work. She's written a series of outstanding articles about psychology, the supernatural, reptilian hosting, and demonic hosting. I believe that this information is very timely. Some people have decided to dip their toe, if you will, into the murky waters of reptilians and the reptilian overlordship. I've always felt that it's not so much important to recognize that they're here among us. Well, that's important also, but to recognize what exactly they do to us, what they can do to influence our behavior and thereby our destiny individually and collectively. So, like I said, Anna wrote a series of excellent articles, and she'll give the titles for those and tell you how to find them. So, without any further ado, and once again, I'm welcoming Anna back to our show from a previous appearance. Anna, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. It's great to be back on.
It's great having you on. Well, tell us what prompted you to write this series of articles and start with the first one that you released and go from there because they make for compelling reading.
Oh, thanks. Now I'm trying to remember the titles. It's on my Substack, which is called Throat Full of Ghosts, which is strange, I know, but if you think about it. Have a lot to say about a lot of creepy stuff. So the first one was basically on hosted people, and then the second one was an inquiry on dark personalities and really getting more into that aspect of it. And I'm trying to remember the title of the third one. Actually, I can't even think of it off the top of my head, but my work has been for a while that I've been having Throat Full of Ghosts, but even before then, just because I'm a trauma survivor and a paranormal experiencer and all that, and that has permeated my life literally since childhood, all of it. And I'm also a medium too, and I think that that's part of the reason how I became a medium is all of this stuff. I don't think it was an accident. So because of that, I've just had, spent decades trying to fix myself and understand myself and just understand the world and what I experienced and what made things what they are. And I got into deep into psychology. And because I had had experienced so many serial abusers and predators in my life, I started to kind of analyze that, the psychological side of it. But I always had alongside, I had the paranormal. The paranormal was always there. And then I started learning about demonology and I started learning about what UFO experiencers and these reptilians. And I just started putting together and just seeing the patterns. And it was just really interesting to me, that there's so many traditions out there that are very diverse. You've got Christians that talk about possession. You got shamans that talk about attachments. You got UFO researchers that talk about reptilians and Dracos, right? And trauma survivors, we talk about dissociation and dark personalities and things. But that host concept, it appears everywhere. And it's a different, it's like the same thing, but it has different names. So that just became sort of a thread that I started to pull on, and that was kind of the beginning of those articles that I decided, let's explore that. Let's talk about, can consciousness be hijacked and why? And how come is it that trauma is so much of an undercurrent with so many experiencers? You can say, well, it's a chicken and egg thing, right? Because, well, which came first? Are you a trauma experiencer and that's why they targeted you? Or are you having now trauma because they targeted you first? And then you get into all the other stuff, like, which I haven't written about yet, but I want to, is like the whole idea of like generational curses and all the stuff that you bring in. And I personally, I went through some regression work and some transpersonal work that I did with a therapist years ago that was fascinating to me and brought up in my own life some of that generational stuff, which I found really fascinating. And you start to pull one thread and the whole thing starts to unravel. And then you look at the manifestations and how the eyes turn black and people just seeing these things, and having different explanations for them. I just have so many more questions than I have answers, but it's fascinating to me to explore, that the predator signature, like why is it some people call them like energy vampires or demonize or archons or, same basic language. I mean, different word, but it's the same, always the same theme. It's like as old as time, right? And when you think about houses, and I love to watch haunted house shows. Like back 10, 15 years ago, I was so big in that. And it was really interesting. It's like portals, thought forms, entity, like all this stuff is just so similar to what we see in other communities, like experiencers and stuff, and the familial hotspots, like the trauma, the bloodline manipulation. All there's just so much. There's so many pieces of it that's like an endless thing and endless fascination for me to just dive into it, and I could talk about it forever. So appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you have the lived experience when, for example, and you've written about this, when you were in and others have been in a relationship with an abusive individual, psychologically, physically, what have you, sometimes whatever force works through these individuals when they're in and out of rage mode, at times, even people that don't have the kind of awareness of these things that you and I would. Sometimes these manifestations, the morphing, what have you, is so blatant that they can't help it but notice it, like the eyes turning black. And when you've seen that in your personal experiences, what would the feeling would be like? What would be like the energetic impressions that you would feel? Would you sense that manifestation coming on as the person works himself into a rage mode and
I would feel a
in
shift.
the narcissistic abuse, they often look for triggers, some excuse to vent their wrath on someone, because the way these narcissistic abusers, hosted abusers are, is they make others responsible for their feelings, right? Oh, if he hadn't done this, said that, rolled your eyes, whatever. What have you observed? Are there like patterns and gradations of it?
Yeah, I have ex observed it's almost like a tension or a pressure with builds like internally within them, and then they have to somehow externalize it, and so they're looking for the victim, and they will frequently create some sort of drama out of nothing. And I mean, my father did it, I had husbands that did it, I had a roommate that did it. It was insane. And it would be like no normal person would react to this, whatever it is. It's something that's so minor, and you're wondering how did it escalate? And but it, you could tell they were hunting for something, and it almost takes almost nothing for some of them to turn it into something, and then it becomes such an attack. And what the thing I've noticed about all these people is that they feel occupied to me, and maybe because I'm a medium. Maybe not. I don't know. I think other people feel it too. But when that entity or whatever decides to come forward, you can feel that so strong. You can see it. You feel the presence of it. And it's like, I want to say, is like a third person in the room. And it just feels evil, and that thing hates you. And you can see it looking at you through their eyes. So when those eyes turn black, or whatever else is happening with their face, with the overlays that we've talked about before last time, and that I've written about too. But we, no matter the manifestations, that's like one thing, but the other thing is this is what you feel is that hatred. It's that they would kill you if they could. And it's almost like there's this play between the whatever is inside them wanting to kill you, and then the other person is trying to maintain control so that they don't kill you because they know that there's like a real life consequence that they're going to be in jail or something. And so that there's that you can feel the tension inside them, like, I want to kill you, but like my human side knows that there's going to be a price for that. And I definitely felt that. In fact, you know what, my husband before the end of everything, he tried to he had, he threatened to kill me with a power drill, and he had it turned on, and he had it right up to my neck with like a half an inch away, and he was threatening to kill me. And I saw like all the manifestations. I felt everything. And that was, yeah, the end of everything at that point. But I have to say, like, wow, for what that escalated from was just a clogged drain. It was nothing, right? And it went from a clogged drain to that. And I could see where he was fighting himself because he really wanted to kill me. And I thought I was gonna die. So it's just, yeah, they're taken over, and it's almost so complete that they're gonna let, you know, somebody at some point, I'm sure a lot of these murders and stuff happen like that because they just can't contain it anymore.
And once they give in to the compulsion to wreak physical violence upon someone, and then perish the thought, or if they go ahead and kill the person or in the process of killing the person, then what sometimes happens is they just jettison, or the entity jettisons, any self-restraint. And this is why you have these accounts of somebody being stabbed like dozens of times. I mean, kill them a lot, right? They just, because by then the complete entity takeover has taken place.
You can definitely feel it, and it's really, yeah, you know, and it makes you wonder, like, what makes somebody susceptible to that, that they become open to that, that they become hosted, that, and that some people seem to want to fight it and other people don't, you know,
Yeah,
some people
some
just
people look
succumb
for,
to
like
it,
you
they
said,
just
an
enjoy it or
excuse
something.
for confrontation, an excuse for escalation. And we see this with hosted people. We also see it with certain demographics, that certain people from certain parts of the world have like no impulse control. So you have all these factors that play into it, the neurology of the lack of the frontal lobe, which is the impulse control network, the in many cases from third world countries, the lack of prefrontal cortex development. So there's no IQ, there's no intelligence, there's no conflict resolution or problem solving skills. Everything escalates, right? Now
Yeah,
when
so is that genetic? Is that environmental? You know, it's so
I
many
think there are a number
questions.
of factors that come into play. You pointed out something I thought was brilliant, that does trauma, especially repeated trauma over time, trauma often starting at childhood, does it open people up so they become, in effect, what Tom Montauk talks about, but in a slightly different context, an organic portal, if you will,
Yeah, the
because.
portals. Yeah, that was the third article. Yeah,
Yeah, that
exactly.
was brilliant summation, because, and again, it's a chicken and egg thing. Was there some kind of genetic spiritual predisposition, perhaps? And did the trauma, the induced trauma, play a role in opening people up? Because you can see a pattern in many cases, actually, where someone has endured trauma, especially prolonged extreme trauma. And then they begin to have a whole series of experiences throughout their life. It's almost as if the trauma has identified them to the spirit world, or whatever the case may be, as a an inviting target. But also perhaps something was done to the person through some form of dissociation, whatever the case may be, where they perceive things more. So it's like two
Yes.
sides of the same coin, really. Like when they would start to go into the berserk mode, would you like physically and energetically like recoil, like, oh, here it comes? So you would start to feel.
Yeah, because it's like an energy wall coming at you, right? You can feel it. You absolutely can feel it, and you can feel it building. And there's a sense of, you want to run, right? Because there's a sense of wanting to escape, but there's not always anywhere to go. And then you second guess yourself, and you go, well, maybe it's not going to escalate this time, wrong. But yeah, and there's a psychiatrist who's been practicing long enough where he doesn't have to worry about protecting his reputation, and he's Canadian. His name is Colin Ross, and he's actually written pretty extensively about some of this stuff where the intersection of trauma and paranormal and a lot of other, these kind of moving into the weird, because it seems like, he noticed in his work, as others have, transpersonal therapists have, all this real big intersection with people that have had trauma, especially early trauma, and then it or long prolonged trauma, repeated, where it does open you up, it does something, and I think that can that thing that it is can go very dark, or it can really, turn a light worker, make the person a light worker, or it can turn them into a host, probably, because it is it life altering,
And we were talking a bit, exchanging comments really on one of these social media threads. And what I've observed from the outside looking in is some women in our example, unfortunately, they go from one abusive relationship to another. If they manage to extricate themselves from a life-threatening situation for too long, they become reinvolved with another abuser. It seems to me that there's a hive consciousness at work with a lot of these abusive hosted individuals. It's like the same or a similar entity or force works through them. Because of the abuse the woman in our example has suffered, she's unwittingly sending out some kind of energetic vibe that's like an attractant. And then the entities working through all these various individuals, these hosted, in many cases, hybridized individuals, it will almost guide them to that woman and set up some kind of chance meeting, if you will. And because there's that energetic commingling, where the woman, because of the trauma she's been subjected to, because her borders are more porous energetically, emotionally, and she's got that suicidal empathy thing going on by that point, right?
Yeah, that's
So
true.
instead of interpreting the warning signs correctly, there's almost a familiarity there. And the male in our example, the hosted predatory abusive male, the entity or entities working through him will say, oh, here's another one. Here's another potential victim. Because to them, society is a target-rich environment, right? That's what the West is. It's a target-rich environment for predators and abusers of various
Absolutely.
stripes. So in our example, they get may not like get together immediately. They begin to see each other, and because of the abuse the woman has suffered, she's like apologetic to a fault. She's so much into the codependent enabling mentality, looking out for the well-being of others instead of herself, that when something like you said, and this can come from both sides of the equation, this oh, that great series of On the Family by John Bradshaw years
Oh
ago,
yes, that's
he
good books
talked
there.
about elements of this, right? The enmeshment between individuals in a toxic dysfunctional family example. And in our example, let's say something trivial happens, like he makes a sandwich for the guy. I'm just making something up, right? But there's like n not enough pickles. So she may volunteer, oh, I'm so sorry, I should have known that I should have had more pickles and then more more mustard, right? Because I
Right.
know that's how you like it, but in almost this fawning kind of defensive way. And what the predator and entities working through that guy may do at that point, oh, that's okay, but don't let it happen again, right? And so, and it's a slippery slope, and that's where it begins. The dynamic begins to manifest between the two in this kind of unhealthy dance. And just your
Yeah,
thoughts
they
on that or
test
anything
you. They
else?
test you. It's this ongoing testing. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's what it made me think of. And real life example, the mayonnaise didn't go all the way to the edges of the bread. So, but it's like they set up these testing obstacles, and then if you fall for it and you willingly put on more mayonnaise next time, you spread it better, you add those extra pickles, then they mess with you with the next thing, and it just erodes you. It takes away your person, your personality. It like completely wipes your
Yes,
everything.
and it's the exact same dynamic. So the gal in our example had extricated herself from a similar scenario, a similar dynamic, but now she's fallen into the same kind of developing potential abusive relationship with the exact same type of person, the exact same type of entity or entities working through the individual. And also, because these entities have this hive consciousness, they can have a very good idea what has been done to that girl throughout her life, from starting from childhood, and in a way tap into a lot of that unhealed trauma and buried trauma, which she may not even be aware she's harboring, but the entity working through or entities working through the individual has a way of triggering it. So the same
Absolutely.
feelings of vulnerability, the same feelings of codependency. They start to manifest themselves. It becomes a vicious cycle, right?
Because they know exactly how to hone in on your whatever your weak points are, what are the things that you're self-conscious about, and then that's where they start dismantling first. That's where they go for, because they you become putty when somebody's able to dismantle you in that much of to that degree where you're no longer really have your own identity anymore. And that's what eventually happens when they wipe away who you are. You don't have your own preferences, you don't have your own identity. I mean, you basically exist to serve them and to just do whatever they want, right? And I mean, I could have been that woman that you described, because that was my life story. I spent a lot of years trying to figure out what the heck was that wrong with me. Then that's an interesting model. It probably there is some element to there is some kind of signal going out, because old Freud would have said, well, it's just repetition compulsion. You're just repeating, your childhood family dynamics, and you're gonna keep repeating until you learn. Well, I can understand that a little bit, but like there's not much logic to it, because once you're in pain, the pain itself is information and it's feedback. So it's like, why do you continue to do something that hurts you? And I think that's the real tricky part with this, is that there's like an override that happens where you cancel yourself, you cancel your preferences, your own pain, everything, and you allow this other thing in to have the control, right? And it is you just basically get hijacked completely. And even see that with, and Evie Lorgan talks about the alien love bite. It's just a whole nother manifestation of the same thing.
It becomes all-consuming, because then the abuse victim in our example, they're on shaky ground once again, which unfortunately there's a degree of familiarity with that also. So it's not even a question of like them saying to themselves, "Oh, here we go again. I'm back in this scenario." It's just they slip into this familiar pattern, right? And because of the supernatural element involved, where the entity can, working through the individual, if he's fully hosted, can even anticipate what the girl's going to say in her defense, can even mock her back and forth, the escalating war of words, which is very one-sided. The abusive comments can be cutting, could be comical from the standpoint of the abuser, just chipping away. And like you said, eventually the goal, one of the goals, is to have someone just molded to perfection from their narcissistic abusive standpoint. Well, she doesn't have anything to say. I've criticized her looks, her appearance, the way she dresses, so she's unsure of herself. And people have to understand that there is a supernatural element to this, because as this abuse escalates, similar in ways to like poltergeist cases, where the standard excuse for the poltergeist activity was there was some ch young child in the house who was, like, for whatever reason, incapable of controlling her energetic emissions or whatever. The psychologists don't use those types of terms, but that's what they're getting at, that because they're so frenetic or they're holding back so much energy, it tends to like move things around and bang
That's
doors
what
and
they
oh, and
say.
what have you. But there's a similar dynamic that happens with when these entities start working through these abusive males, in our example, to like the moment they walk in through the door, the energy, everything just changes. Whatever frustrations or problems they've had during the day, now they have a familiar outlet with which to, unleash, basically. So people have to understand that there's an energetic spiritual component. And what's it like sharing the same bed space with somebody? Does would there be nightmares of these people like coming after you, and that you have to live with them at a given
I
stretch of time? And
personally, I suffered from nightmares for decades. I don't thankfully have them anymore. Haven't for years, but I did, and it was interesting because when I was a kid, my nightmares started then, very young, and I was used to dream then about being chased by like demonic things, and I'm in hell or something, and then the next thing I know, these demon things are chasing me, and I'm running, and I wake up screaming and falling out of the bed and all these things. But as I got older, I was having similar kinds of dreams again, but it's like sometimes they were more real world rooted and not so much in the demonic, but so you're more about like this is nightmare about how my life's about to fall apart, like, oh, I'm about to get fired from my job. But in reality, I have no reason to believe that I got great performance reviews, I'm getting raises. There's no objective evidence for me to be having a nightmare about this, but yet I'm having a nightmare about some sort of financial collapse or some sort of career collapse or some, it's just like it gets into the things that are important to you. That's where they go, and they mess with your head so bad and make you feel completely vulnerable and completely. It's almost like they want you to depend on them, but the trick is that when you need to depend on them, they're never there for you. They will not be there to support you emotionally or to be there to support you in any practical sense. Like if you need to go to the hospital, they won't show up. It's just really so demented the way it's not reciprocal to such an extreme. Like it is just so one way. And yet they get you to accept that. So in order to accept that, you have to really erase yourself. Like I don't matter. I don't, almost like I don't exist.
Like you're an extension of the abuser. And tell us about the isolating factor, because one thing that these serial abusers do and are very adept at is isolating their victim. We see this on individual basis. We see this on a cult basis. The language used, everything, the financial manipulation. Tell us a bit about how that process works.
Oh boy, yeah, well, that's another one that's big, but and it really it depends on what they have control of and what the world is. So I had two marriages like this, right? And in the first one, it was a much smaller world because it was in a university. You know, I was much younger, but there was this sense of where he controlled everything in the way I was allowed to dress, and the way that I, where I could go, and he would monitor everything, and even had other people monitoring me, but I didn't know who they were necessarily. I just would see people that I knew he knew that would be watching me. And I had to, he would have like a certain, if I'm going to the grocery store on a Saturday, there is an appointed amount of time, which is not even like spelled out or said, but God forbid that I take 10 minutes longer, because then there's all these accusations that go, well, what you did with that 10 minutes, like, well, what would I have time to do? You know, but there was this, the isolation where they make sure that either that they can't physically move you out, which is something my second husband did, was move me out to Timbuktu, where I was physically isolated in a very rural area where we're nearly off grid. Our neighbors were off grid. But in the other case, it was like socially isolated because you're not allowed to talk to this one or that one, or pretty much can't talk to anybody. And the only people that you can really talk to are the people that you work with, because, but then it has to be, you know, everything you got to justify. And then you're getting interrogated on everything. And then they're controlling the money. They're controlling everything you have access to, even though you have the freedom to come and go. It's like you do, but you don't. It's like being in a prison, because you have, you know, you're being watched. You know, you're being accounted for everything you do, that you're going to have to at any given time give account for. And it's very much like being in some sort of a incarcerated situation, you know. Where, because they want to cut you off from other people, because they don't want other people weighing in and their opinions and to showing you all the ways in which that you're being abused and exploited, right? So, of course, they want to keep you as isolated as possible, so that you're, they're your only input, and then the rest of the time your own head can play games on you, because you're, you know, by yourself somewhere, and you know you're going nuts because you're, you know, running all these scenarios in your mind, wondering if you're crazy. So yeah, it's hell. It's hell living with an abuser.
It's key and timely information, because what we're seeing is, and it's a many-headed hydra, this whole attack on humanity, and the rise of, for lack of a better term, of this very harsh misogyny, patriarchy. It's masked as like cultural enrichment. It's masked as they'll always come up with it. An excuse to explain away this behavior. And then the two sides of the same coin syndrome, you have the rise. We're in I can't remember what wave we're in, the third or fourth wave of so-called feminism, which is hardly feminine in any way, shape, or form. So you have a similar a dynamic, similar types of entities working through these feminists to essentially brainwash women, essentially turn them against all males, not just the abusers. Now, the abusers get free rein, especially if they're from another country or, a certain
Oh,
ethnicity,
that's for
whatever the case
sure.
may be. That's they get a free pass, right? But it's just the once again the targeted population demographic, basically white Christian people, the ones who basically created this whole Western world that we live in and take for granted, right? So we have the patriarchy, misogyny on the one hand, and we have the hardcore feminism on the other. And the result is lower fertility rates. Hardly anyone is having babies anymore. Women, because of the societal programming, the cultural Marxism they've been exposed to in the schools and in the social media space. They view all men as being hostile, to the point where a lot of women are complaining, well, no one approaches me anymore. No one asks me for a date. Even if when I go out with somebody, they don't even bust a move on me. Well, after decades now of the Me Too movement, where guys' whole lives were turned upside down by all these false accusations of very similar a form of entity or entities that work through all these abusive males are now comfortably working through all these females to create this hostile environment. There's no firm foundation. Everything is murky, like a quicksand kind of syndrome. And so it's no wonder that guys don't go to clubs anymore to meet women. It's no wonder that no one's going out of their way to develop a relationship with the opposite sex, because everything has been so messed up from the whole cultural Marxist infusion into society. What are your thoughts about that, or anything related?
Well, I mean, it's a big thing because you have all that, and then you can say, well, the fertility rates are down, yeah, but then there's pollution and all these other things too. So it gets really messy to try to, say, well, how much is responsible for what? But there's no question. In fact, as you were talking about that, I was remembering that several years ago, a friend of mine told me he had a son who was in college somewhere in the South. I don't remember which school, and he said it was so bad that the boys, they were not asking the girls out, and the girls were like, "Oh, I don't like this." But they actually had in that school a rule where they had to sign consent forms before that they could even touch each other. The illegal form that the school required. So they had to go through all of that just to protect people from getting sued in this, Me Too nonsense. It's crazy. And then I don't know, I go on threads and I see some of these women, and I've noticed this, like, certain demographic more than others, but there's this thing of where they're going on these dates that they find on, dating apps or whatever, and they'll go, and it's this big test, like, where I'm gonna it has to the guy has to pay for my child care, he has to pay for my new outfit that I'm going to wear on the date, he has to pay for the meal, and it has to be at a fancy restaurant, he has to pay for me to get my nails done before I go, and it sounds insane, but some of them actually have, like, all of these requirements, and before the guy's even gone on the first date, he's already out a grand, and I'm thinking, well, who the heck is stupid enough to sign up for that? Like, that to me, that's abuse. Like, who do you think you
Abuse.
are? I mean,
There.
is it not enough to just go out and enjoy a meal, and it can be hot dogs, who cares? It's the first time you got together,
Yes.
But why is it, like, who do they think they are that they can just have this, oh, standard? Like, well, what are you offering? That makes
It's a.
me angry to
It's
see,
very
because,
parasitic, to the point where
yeah.
some women on their profiles, there's a button or like a link to like pay like a deposit for a date, right? So,
Oh my God.
yeah, so things have gotten to
Oh,
that
that's so out of
extreme,
control.
and the outrageous expectations that in the social media space now, in YouTube and similar platforms, there's a whole genre of guys who've completely opted out of the dating game,
Or the
and
incels.
and the videos basically that they post. They show examples. Well, this is why this entitled mentality from so many women who've been subjected to this cultural Marxist indoctrination. And a lot of it is tailor-made for certain demographics, right? Certain cultures, let's
Yeah.
say.
Yeah, you see
And
more of that in certain demographics for sure.
absolutely, I can order whatever I want, even. Even take out and bring back home after this meal. The guy is kind of like under scrutiny, because if he doesn't want to go for it, well, he's like completely broke. He's a broke guy. He's a loser by implication. So everything is being done that militates against family cohesion, right? And creates this battle of the sexes. And meanwhile, the replacement migration replacement is going on. These other people, other cultures, are hatching multiple babies through, multiple marriages, right?
It's true.
I mean, when you zoom out and you look at this, the whole plan is devilish, is how it all comes together, and it makes me pause and think. Jeez, imagine getting into the head of some of these people. both males and females. So that especially, well, we were just talking about a moment ago about the female side of the equation, where there's nothing feminine about them. There's nothing soft about them, right?
No, no.
To use like metaphors, if you will. I mean, I think most people from our generation, they have an understanding of what softness is in that context, right?
For sure, yeah.
You don't see that a lot of time.
They're
You
not
see
even
this.
neutral, a lot of them,
A lot of them are not. So
very masculine
there's no
energy.
meeting ground anymore. There's no, if you look back to the old films of the 40s and 50s and 60s, you can start to see the deterioration and decay set in some of the 60s films. But you go a little further back, you see a lot more cohesion. This family dynamic. You think of all these by now what we would consider to be kind of quaint TV shows like Ozzie and Harriet, and I love the Ricky Nelson singing parts in those in that show. But then you would have other shows, even Leave It to Beaver, and where they had this strong family unit, and that whole dynamic has been done away with through cultural Marxism. And I've said for many years now that cultural Marxism is a manifestation of this supernatural dynamic that we've been talking about that makes its presence felt in these toxic, dysfunctional interpersonal relationships. Now, when you zoom out, and I like your thoughts on this, you see some of the same pathologies in society at large. Like, I read a letter, and it purports to be from the mother of Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, where she's imploring him, mother to son, like, stop being so abusive towards women, stop using women, stop using them, in all these different ways. And you look at a guy wholly unqualified to be a Secretary of Defense in a war that could turn parachute, it's already gone pear-shaped, it could get even worse as a potential. You put a guy with that level of inherent instability into that position, and the bluster, the bombast, right, that comes out of him is exactly the kind of bluster and bombast that is prevalent in some of these toxic, abusive relationships. And here is this known abuser of women, a guy whose personal and professional life has been a total train wreck, which makes him ideal for the position he's in, by the way. And then he's acting in the exact same kind of way, talking down to everybody, just like an abusive father or abusive person would be in a family dynamic. Now, tell us your thoughts on that, because when you zoom out, you see these same pathologies, but they're magnified in scale.
You see them everywhere, and one of the things that I wanted to comment on is, as you think about going to the traditional values and stuff, which I agree, there's so much good in that. But what I've seen personally, I've seen that weaponized. I've seen Christianity weaponized. My second husband is a perfect example of that, where he was, put on the whole act of I'm Mr. Christian and I'm this and I read the Bible and all this. But in at home, or you get two different people with it, so just because they're acting all holy or whatever, so I, as much as I abhor what you described, at least you know what you're getting with them. And it's horrible, but what I truly miss is just the decorum that you used to get, 20, 30. We didn't like a lot of those guys either that were president, back in the 90s or whatever. But the thing is that you never saw the kind of stuff that you see now that's all over, Truth Social, or even the way Trump talks,
Yes, the
Hegseth, whatever.
bombast.
But that's up just so offensive to me, to be so
Yes.
insulting to people, to be the, just bloviating and just all of, I mean, it's one thing if you brag, it's another thing if you're proud of your country, it's another thing, but this is just abuse. It's just a
Yes.
barrage of abuse coming out, and you want to talk about hosted people. I mean, wow.
Yes,
Wow.
that's a very good point, because in the old days, I mean, some of us, even as somewhat jaded and cynical like I am at times, right? I've
Yeah.
back in the day, when okay, the secret Nixon Oval Office White House tapes, right?
Oh
Who
yeah, Watergate or
Nixon,
whatever, yeah.
he just used profanity there, right? We were somewhat taken aback, or when LBJ, President Lyndon
Oh, he
Johnson,
was notorious for it,
he was
yeah.
notorious, he was a womanizer, all that stuff. And he looked at, he was a classic reptile looking guy. But the tapes that have leaked out in the Oval Office of him using profanity, of him using derogatory slurs, right?
For
We're
sure.
somewhat taken aback because we're conditioned, at least people of our generation and before, to when people uphold their office, there's a certain amount of decorum, of behavior that's expected of people in these positions. So now they've turned that on its head. Pete Hegseth, one of his first,
Shocking.
first bombastic speeches to all of the generals and admirals in the Defense Department, all that DEI shit is over and blah blah blah. It's like, since when does a sec dev talk like that? And then if you look at Trump, right, the bombastic, contradictory things that come out of his social media. I keep calling them tweets, even though it's not Twitter. I'll just, for sake of shorthand, let's call it tweets. The tweets he puts out, and
They're
also how
horrendous.
timely they are, how it manipulates the market. So insiders in and around him are making a pile of money on all the shorts in the oil industry. And I don't know why I'm laughing, but it just shows the different levels that this operates at. So before, what was it? Private in the own private hell of an isolated individual in an abusive relationship. Now it's scaled that you scale it up, and the exact same abusive people are in these positions, at least outwardly invisible positions of authority, even though we know they're just puppets, with bloviating and blowing smoke and making all these bombastic comments. And that has an appeal to people who've been
Well, you know what
subjected.
else it has, though?
Oh,
Because
please
the
go
more
ahead.
you see of that shocking stuff on TV and the more of the shocking stuff that comes out in these tweets, we're getting so desensitized, James, that people are willing to accept more abuse because this amount of abuse is like no longer shocking to people. It's just every day, right? And we become programmed and trained to accept it because nobody is saying any, well, we are, here we are, but you know what I'm saying? There should be an uproar for this. And there isn't. You hear silence because you get Hollywood's pumping out the same stuff. You know, it may not be abuse in the same way, but there you watch movies like even now compared to say prior to 2010, you notice like the dark themes and these
Yes.
weird sexual stuff and things that you would have not seen or very rarely seen like 15 years ago that you see commonly now. They're very different. It's like
Well,
no one is reacts to anything anymore because everything is so much stimulation. You don't even know what to react to.
it's the thought co control. It's first that things were politically correct was the term they used to use, and then later on, that morphed into this multi-headed hydra. Racism nowadays can be defined as if you're white and you're beaten by a horde of people who are not white, don't go complaining and
Yeah, because you deserve it.
perish the thought that if you're in the process of beating to death, that if you say the N-word, okay, then you're the one at fault. And it's to the point now where certain demographics know it's our right to kill white people, and we don't believe in
It's
fair
crazy.
trials. We don't believe in fair trials, and we're going to riot if we don't get the verdict we want. And if we do get the verdict we want, that's going to be further license to kill whitey. So the very European heritage culture, and I'm always going to be intrinsically to the core a Europhile, because if that's a word, because I've seen the difference between the third world and
Oh yeah, for
what the
sure.
Europeans have done in the Western world, going back to the time of Athens and perhaps before, right? We just see how
Yeah,
civilization
they're
has
just not
gone,
civilized.
the trends, and now everything is completely uncivilized, and we're reverting back to this stage of barbarism. And it, like I said, it's a multi-headed hydra. You talked about the Christian Zionists before, right? These fake Christians, but they're full of bombast. They're full of hate. They're full of rage. They just want to destroy something, right? But they're supposed to be Christians, but obviously they're not. And
Yeah,
then
they
you have
want to
all.
kill certain ethnic groups or whatever. It's like, well, they deserve to die.
That's right. That's
It's like,
right.
well,
I mean,
really?
genocide, mass
It's
slaughter
insane.
is right out in the open now, and to complain about any of it, it makes you anti this, anti that. So they've compartmentalized us, and what they've done is they've painted us into a corner where people are more concerned about offending someone, more worried about being called a racist than surviving as an individual, as a family, as a race, right? That's where we're at now. I mean, just the last 15, 10 years of all this is the speed on a societal level has been breathtaking to watch it unfold. What used to be in the confines of an abusive or relationship in a home has been globally. Till
Absolutely.
we see these talking heads on Fox News where they're so delusional, right? It may seem to
It's
the
true.
audience that we're bouncing around, but it's the same dynamic scaled up, right? The same gaslighting. Oh, we've
Yes,
got to restart this
manipulation.
war with Iran. Well, you got your asses kicked over and over and over again. You can't do anything to Iran. Even if you drop 20 nuclear weapons on Iran, it's such a vast country. Everything is underground. You're not going to defeat them. So
Not
why
going to hurt
even
that
bother? But
much.
see, there I go injecting logic into all this. Because in their scheme of things, they may want a huge mass sacrifice to Baal or whoever it is that they're worshiping.
Well,
They may
that's just
want
it.
this.
Yeah, right.
That's it. So we make the mistake of, well, not we, but a lot of people make the mistake of trying to divine meaning and some kind of hidden truth to everything that's going on, these bloviated pronouncements from the current administration, let's say, try to find some hidden meaning when there is none. Because they're trying to inject human logic and compassion and empathy. Those factors don't come into play at all. But we're seeing now in the form of these public announcements, what have you, is this dark kind of ball entity in all of its forms and all of its manifestations. There's something that really wants to get rid of the human race, Anna.
Yeah, and you look at all the places where it's not just the genocide, but you just see how casual they've become. For instance, in Canada with the MAID program, and that where they're offering everybody eugenics. Oh, you have a chronic back pain? Well, here's a brochure on our suicide program, basically. Really? They're gonna do that? Where's the empathy? That's just so evil.
It
That's just
is.
so evil. And some people could say, well, you can even take that into the whole abortion argument too, because you think about how many of those are performed for whatever reason, for or against. And I'm not arguing that there's cases where it's probably a really good idea, but at the same time, there's a lot of people out there that have used that instead of birth control. And when you think about it, that energy and death is feeding something. And there's something out there that wants more of it. It just feels like there is some, whatever the overlords, zarkons, whatever you want to call them, there's some other force that's driving this, not just the hatred that you're talking about, the violence and everything that we're seeing society now, but the genocide, the death, the all of it, and so much of it is just not necessary.
It's like you said, it's been normalized to an extraordinary degree. Before they used terms, euphemisms, collateral damage. Oh, yeah, that school full of all these girls, that was collateral damage, and these ambulance workers and relief workers that were targeted and double tapped and blown up. They're just
It was horrible.
collateral damage. But then after a while, everyone just, and this has been going on, certain targeted populations all along. We'll just describe everyone as terrorists nowadays, right? They describe them as any enemy combatants. We saw the shift in the language, right? Especially in the wake of the bogus war on terror. And gee, like, what was that all about now? We're seeing in the West these Middle Easterners going around b burning nightclubs because it's not in sync with their like religious philosophy, right?
Or
But
killing
then what
dogs
was
or
the
whatever,
war? Here's simple-minded me, right? What was the war on terror all about then? I thought it was to keep it's better to fight them there than it is to fight them here. Well, they're here now, right? Because the very same people that send people off to war to kill them over there are the same ones that brought them over here. See?
It's
And
insane.
that's a difficult adjustment. Especially military people have this problem because of all the robotic kind of dogma they've been programmed with. And
Yeah, that's
folks,
true.
the reason why we're scaling it up, because we've gone from the general to the specific, back to the general again. Many of the same dynamics, interpersonal dynamics, you see in an abusive household are exactly what you're seeing scaled up on a geopolitical planetary level. When Secretary of Defense says our diplomacy is with bombs, you're dealing with an unhinged, unbalanced entity. And the guy looks like a lizard to me. All he's missing is scales. So he's exactly the kind of like idiot kind of abuser that they want as a secretary. They call it a secretary of war now. And then if you look back in the past, again, when you contrast the stark differences in the old days, you had like General George Marshall as a secretary of defense. He parsed out his words, very carefully. He was always well spoken, very articulate, right? Wasn't a perfect man by any means, but at least there was a certain decorum, a certain standard that they were held to in the old days. But now that's all jettisoned. When you talk about the desensitization and normalization of all this, and I was just talking on another podcast about this recently. Robert Khalil in his fine show, Typical Skeptic, he goes, oh yeah, it's like, someone's dying on the sidewalk, and instead of giving CPR, even if they knew how or didn't know how, oh no, they're just going to videotape the person dying in their death throes. Because what we used to have before, people make these heroic superhuman efforts to save perfect strangers in the old days. Now it's just because that the AI overlay, the whole social media dynamic, which is, I mean, this is like a scrying device, like a black
True,
scrying
Black
kind of
Mirror.
thing that plugs people right in and removes their humanity. And that device has just eradicated what's left of the humanity in many people, and people don't realize it. And I've always said that digital devices, especially like smartphones, what have you, they're a direct outgrowth of what was found at the Roswell debris field and other places, because they've managed to interconnect everybody, and they have tailor-made the TikTok and all the social media platforms for certain demographics to rile them up even more, right? And that's
Absolutely,
across
yeah.
all demographics. It's all across the board. It's all tailor-made. This is like Matrix stuff we're talking about now.
And what's interesting about it that I've noticed recently is that all of it is fueling outrage, right? Everybody's outraged, but there's never any solutions coming out of this outrage. It's just escalating the outrage. It's like, even if you try to make it's not outrageous if you have an opinion on something that someone else doesn't agree with. I mean, everybody's divided into tribes now, and they can't think anymore. They can't think, well, maybe I align with this political, side per se, but gee, you got a point. And I know it's not what my side says, but you have a good point, and let's talk about it. Or, oh, no, it has to be divisive. They have to, you're bad. You're a horrible person. You're a Nazi. You're whatever. It just becomes this hostility, and everybody's looking for something to be mad about, and the outrage. There is no like, let's come together, let's find what's common that we can agree on, and let's build something. No. And the other thing is nobody wants to think either. So when you combine those two things, you get it's absolute insanity now. It's just people have lost it completely.
Well, bizarre manifestation that were like the cosmic MAGA, as I'd say, as I call it now, where, in our field, UFOs, paranormal research, what have you, they or someone somewhere has managed to juxtapose all these QAnon drops and all the innuendo and all the gossip. On the one hand, with scaling it up to a cosmic scale, now Trump is viewed as it's like not even a savior anymore, someone who could, parlay with the Galactic Council or whatever, and it's degenerated to that level. I mean, he can't even parlay like an adult on social media, let alone parlay with the so-called advanced being. But this need to divest ourselves of responsibility, make someone else responsible for all these like decisions, and on a cosmic scale, even always this need to find someone else to do the work for us. It's a form of I don't know what the term is, of just divesting oneself of responsibility and just finding some kind of figure to make all these decisions for us. It's the level of mind control is astonishing, really.
Yeah, it's like sort of volunteering to be a child in a way where you're going to, delegate your choices and your responsibilities or whatever to this whoever organizing body, whether it's your government or your party or your whatever the group is. And you have to wonder, why would anybody want to give up the freedom of, of your own choices, your own mind, really? You're giving up your own mind. And so many people are willing to do that. I was talking to someone not too long ago. They were like, well, I don't really care that the government is wanting to put out all of this, monitoring, with all these data centers that are going to be coming up, and they want to build all these data centers all over the United States and the world. And because of that, there's going to be so much more, tracking and monitoring and everything that we do and say. And they're like, well, I don't really do anything. I don't really say anything. Like, if they want to monitor me, that's fine. And I have to question, like, what makes a person think that?
Yes,
You know,
completely
why would
at
you want to give
odds.
away that?
Completely at odds with the founding fathers and the successful at the time anyway. Unleashing, extricating themselves from a tyrannical form of government, which was ruling them from far away, right? And
Exactly.
when you look at the interpersonal dynamics of this abuse system in the household, and then you scale it up to a geopolitical planetary scale, we see another similar dynamic. The justifications, the codependency enabling mentality. Oh, well, they're going to Iran to get a Stargate, and they're going over there, and it's to bring in this new kind of financial system, and everyone's going to get med beds. I mean, they've been trying to depopulate us all the time.
Yes.
Only everyone's going to get a med bed of it. Trump,
Or universal basic income or
personal.
some.
These are essentially socialist mentality. At the street gutter level, we hear the exact same thing. Who's going to build the roads? Who's going to make the hospitals? Well, the government has to do that because
Right.
well, they've stripped us of all this know-how of herbalism and everything else and real natural medicine that humanity has worked with for thousands of years. And now it's just, who's going to make the hospital? The same thing. Well, we need the med bed. It's the same dynamic, but coached in like esoteric, like in this new age kind of jargon. You know what I mean? That in the time you got left in this first segment, and an enjoyable discussion despite the gravity of the subject matter. How could people find your work, Anna? And they find you on
They
Twitter.
can find me on Substack, and the Substack is called Throat Full of Ghosts. And I can give you the link later if you want to put it with the show notes.
Thank you. And yeah, please do. And to our dear listeners and viewers out there, please like and subscribe. Please pass on our content to your social media platforms because we have been getting severely shadow banned. And so you can help in any way to get the message out. That would be much appreciated from us, that's for sure. We'll see you at the top of the next segment, all of our dear members. And for those in the general public, thank you for tuning in. But wherever you may be, whatever you will be doing, have a very pleasant time.